Welcome back to the UAP Research Deep Dive with UAP Caucus. You know, we always talk about UAP sightings happening in these, remote areas, like deserts, mountains, you name it. But what if that's not just a coincidence?
Yeah.
What if, like, there are environmental factors that actually make people more likely to see something unusual in the sky? So that's what we're diving into today.
Yeah, and that's where this research paper comes in. It's called An Environmental Analysis of Public UAP Sightings and Skyview Potential.
Yeah.
And this study, it isn't about proving or disproving the existence of aliens, you know. Mm-hmm. It's about looking at the where and why of UAP reports from a scientific perspective.
Okay, so let's unpack this. We're talking about a huge e-data set here.
Absolutely. We're looking at over 98,000 UAP sightings reported to the National UFO Reporting Center. Or U4 for short, from 2001 to 2020. And it spans the entire continental US. And it's that sheer volume of data that really gives the study its weight.
Okay, so instead of just focusing on individual anecdotes, they're looking for patterns across thousands of reports.
Exactly. The researchers, they wanted to see if things like light pollution, cloud cover, or even the location of airports and military installations could explain why some areas have more UAP sightings than others.
Hold on. Why would airports and military bases matter?
Well, think about it. You know, those are places with a lot of activity in the sky. Planes taking off and landing, military exercises, maybe even drones. It's not unreasonable to think that some of these sightings could be misidentified aircraft or other known phenomena.
Ah, so it's not just about what people can see, but also what's actually up there to be seen.
Precisely. So to analyze this massive data set, the researchers used a statistical model. It's called Bayesian Small Area Estimation. It's kind of a fancy way of saying they looked for correlations between environmental factors and the number of UAP reports in each county. But they also had to account for things like population density.
So what did they find? Was there a connection between the environment and UAP sightings?
Well, there are some really fascinating findings. One of the most significant was the impact of what they call sky view potential. Basically, places with less light pollution and fewer trees blocking the view had higher rates of UAP reports.
Yeah, that makes sense, right?
Hmm.
I mean, if you have a clearer view of the sky, you're more likely to see something unusual. It's like trying to stargaze in a city versus out in the countryside. You just see so much more in a place with less light pollution.
Exactly. It's a pretty simple concept, but it highlights how important it is to consider the environment. When we evaluate UAP reports, it's not always about what's up there. Sometimes it's about what's down here on Earth. That affects what we can see.
So clear skies equal more sightings. What else did they discover?
Okay, so this is where it gets really interesting. They also found a strong correlation between air traffic and UAP reports. Counties with more airports and busier airspace tended to have more sightings.
So more planes in the sky equals more chances of someone seeing something that they don't recognize. And reporting it as a UAP?
That's a very plausible interpretation. If you're not familiar with all the different types of aircraft out there, you might see something unusual and assume it's something extraordinary. You know, it's like seeing a drone for the first time. It can seem pretty bizarre if you don't know what it is.
Okay, so sky view and air traffic. Got it. What about military bases? Did they find a connection there too?
They did. Counties with more military installations also had an increased number of UAP reports.
Could this be related to those nighttime military exercises we hear about? You know, people mistaking flares or drones for something? Well, more otherworldly.
That's a very likely explanation. Military activities, especially at night, often involve things that could easily be misidentified by someone who isn't aware of what's going on.
Okay, so we've got clear skies, air traffic, and military presence, all potentially contributing to these patterns of UAP sightings. That's a lot to consider already. But what about clouds? Did they have any impact?
Now, this is where things get a bit more unexpected, interestingly. Cloud cover didn't have a clear relationship with sightings.
Wait, so more clouds didn't mean fewer sightings? That's kind of counterintuitive. What do you make of that?
The researchers themselves were surprised by this finding. They expected a negative correlation, thinking that clouds would obscure visibility and lead to fewer reports. But the data didn't support that.
Hmm. So the relationship between cloud cover and UAP sightings is more nuanced than we might initially think.
It seems that way. And it's a good reminder that this research, while it's incredibly insightful, is still just one piece of the puzzle. It's not a definitive answer to the UAP question, but it does give us a valuable framework for understanding the context of these sightings.
Absolutely. It's about looking beyond the "it's aliens" explanation and considering all these other factors that might be at play. But even with all these environmental factors, there's still the human element to consider.
Right. Precisely. And that's where the concept of motivated perception comes in. The researchers acknowledge that our beliefs and expectations can actually influence how we interpret what we see.
So if you believe in UAPs, you're more likely to see them. It's like that saying, you see what you want to see. Have you ever experienced something similar where your expectations influenced what you saw?
Of course. I mean, this psychological phenomenon applies to all sorts of things, not just UAPs. But in this context, it suggests that some people might be more primed to interpret ambiguous lights in the sky as something extraordinary, even if there's a more mundane explanation.
Yeah, it's like that classic experiment where they showed people a blurry photo and asked them what they saw. And the people who were told it was a monster were more likely to actually see a monster, even though it was just like a random blur. It just shows how powerful our expectations can be.
It really does. Our brains are constantly trying to make sense of the world around us. And sometimes that means filling in the blanks with our own beliefs and assumptions.
So how does this motivated perception play into the UAP phenomenon?
Well, it adds another layer of complexity to the analysis. Even if someone sees something unusual in the sky, their interpretation of that event might be influenced by their pre-existing beliefs about UAPs.
That makes sense. So even with this rigorous scientific approach, there's still an element of subjectivity that we can't completely eliminate.
Precisely. And the researchers, they acknowledge that limitation in their paper. They're very upfront about the fact that they can't verify the accuracy of every single report in their data set.
Right. Some could be misidentifications. Some could be hoaxes. And some could be genuine sightings of something truly unusual. It's important to keep that in mind.
Absolutely. We need to approach these reports with a healthy dose of skepticism and avoid jumping to conclusions.
But at the same time, we shouldn't dismiss them out of hand either.
Of course not. There could be valuable information within those reports, even if some of them turn out to have more mundane explanations.
Also, about finding that balance
between
open-mindedness and critical thinking. But going back to those geographical patterns for a second, I'm really intrigued by that hotspot map that the researchers created.
You mean the one that shows clusters of UAP reports in different parts of the country?
Yeah. What stood out to you?
Well, remember, they standardized the data based on population. So it's not just about where the most people live. It's about where people are proportionally reporting more sightings.
Right. So what were the hotspots?
Well, as you might expect, the Western U.S. is a major hotspot, and the researchers attribute this to a few things. Clearer skies, due to less light pollution, a culture of outdoor activities, and even the influence of those. Famous UAP hotspots, like Area 51 and Roswell.
Yeah, it's like those places have become ingrained
right
in our collective consciousness. We think about UAPs.
Exactly. But what's interesting is they also found higher rates of sightings in the Northeast, which doesn't necessarily fit the same profile as the West.
So what's going on there? More densely populated areas, maybe.
That's what the researchers speculate. More people, more air traffic, more chances of seeing something unusual in the sky. Remember, they found that strong correlation between air traffic and UAP reports.
True. But there were also those other smaller hotspots scattered throughout the country, right? Places that didn't seem to have the same environmental or cultural factors as the West or the Northeast.
Yeah. And that's where things get even more interesting. What's happening in those areas? Is it just random chance, or could there be other factors that we haven't considered?
I'm curious about that, too. Is there anything in the data that might shed light on those outlier hotspots?
Well, the researchers suggest that further investigation is needed. They propose looking at the specific details of the reports from those areas, the shapes people reported seeing, the time of day, any other unusual circumstances. There might be patterns within those reports that could provide some clues.
It's like a detective story, isn't it? Piecing together all these different clues to try and understand what's really going on.
I love that analogy, and it speaks to the importance of this kind of scientific approach. To the UAP question, we need to look at the data, analyze the patterns, and consider all the possible explanations before jumping to conclusions.
I completely agree. It's about being curious, open-minded, and rigorous in our exploration of this phenomenon.
Exactly. And I think this research paper is a great example of how to do that. It's not about proving or disproving the existence of aliens. It's about taking a scientific approach to understanding the context of these sightings and what they might tell us about our world, our technology, and even ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's what makes this whole topic so fascinating. It's not just about UAPs. It's about the intersection of science, culture, psychology, and the unknown.
Absolutely. It reminds us that there's still so much we don't know about our world and the universe around us. There's always more to discover, more to learn, more to explore. And that's the beauty of it all, isn't it? The mystery keeps us curious and drives us to seek answers.
It does. And that brings us to one of the most intriguing parts of this paper, the researchers' acknowledgement of the limits of their own study.
You mean how they point out that their data is based on self-reported sightings, which aren't always reliable?
Right. It's one thing to say, I saw something strange in the sky, but it's another to have concrete evidence that can be independently verified.
Exactly. And that's a challenge that researchers in this field constantly grapple with. We have to rely on eyewitness accounts, which are inherently subjective and prone to error.
So where does that leave us? We've got this massive data set of UAP sightings, these fascinating correlations with environmental factors, and a dash of psychological intrigue. It's a lot to process.
It is, but I think one of the most important takeaways from all of this is that the context of a UAP sighting really matters. It's not enough to just say someone saw something strange. We need to consider the where, the when, but the why.
Like, were they in a place with a wide open view of the sky? Was it near a busy airport? Did they already believe in UAPs? I mean, those factors can all influence how someone perceives and interprets what they see.
Absolutely. And this research suggests that in many cases, there might be perfectly rational explanations for these sightings. Not aliens, but misidentified aircraft, military activities, or even just tricks of the light in our own minds playing tricks on us.
That doesn't mean we should dismiss every report. It's just a simple misidentification, right?
Of course not. There are still those cases that defy conventional explanation. The ones that keep researchers and enthusiasts like us searching for answers, those are the cases that really push us to expand our understanding of what's possible.
That's the exciting part. The unknown keeps us curious.
Absolutely. But I think this research is a valuable reminder that we need to approach this topic with a balanced perspective. We need to be open to the possibility of the extraordinary, but we also need to be grounded in scientific rigor and critical thinking.
I love that balanced perspective. It's about finding that sweet spot between skepticism and wonder.
Exactly. And I think this research, with its focus on environmental and psychological factors, gives us some really valuable tools for doing just that.
You know, it's fascinating to think about all the other factors they didn't even have a chance to explore in this study. I mean, they only focused on a handful of environmental variables. There's a whole universe of other things that could be influencing these sighting patterns.
Oh, absolutely. Think about weather patterns, geological formations, even cultural events. Who knows what other connections we might find if we dig deeper?
Yeah, it's an open invitation for further research. And that's what I love about this field. There's always more to discover, always another layer to peel back.
It's a never-ending exploration, and that's what makes it so captivating.
So for all our listeners out there, I have a question for you. If you were to design the perfect UAP hunting spot, based on what we've learned today, where would it be? Would it be in a remote desert with zero light pollution, near a busy airport, or maybe even close to a military base known for its nighttime exercises? What factors would you consider? And more importantly, how would you approach the challenge of distinguishing a genuine UAP from something more mundane?
That's a thought-provoking question to ponder. As we wrap up this deep dive, we've explored the science, the statistics, and the psychology behind UAP sightings. But the ultimate mystery remains.
And that's what keeps us coming back for more. The search for answers continues. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into UAP research.
Until next time, keep looking up, keep asking questions, and keep that balanced perspective.